to overcome that. But we know that many tests, trials, and temptations come to us all in many different forms. Sometimes they are self-inflicted. People do crazy things. You know, I grew up, of course, I grew up somewhere, and I did a lot of crazy things, and I'm sure you did too. And so a lot of times it's self-inflicted wounds, but many times you just, tests and trials just come around because we're in this earth. You know, over in John 16:33, it says, "These things, Jesus said, I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world." Thank God for peace. Everybody needs peace. "Ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you," Jesus said, "that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, tests and trials, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so many tests, many trials, and many temptations come to us all in many different forms. But I want to give you three things today to know that everybody's experiencing tests, trials, and temptations in this life. You're not going to get through this life without any tests, with any trials, and without any temptations. Because Jesus Christ went through tests, trials, and temptations, and because he overcame for us, we in turn can overcome every obstacle that comes our way. It says over in Revelations 12 and verse 11, they overcame him. Who's that him? That's the world, the flesh, and the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame him. Who? The world, the flesh, and the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so these tests, trials, and temptation, everybody faces a test. Everybody faces a trial. Everybody faces a temptation in life. But God has given the child of God power and ability to overcome. Can you say overcome? You know, all of us overcome. Pastor and Miss Anita are here in the sanctuary, and they're making sure that everything's running smoothly with me and with Pastor Steve and Kendra. Hallelujah, and all of us. But God is a good God, and so he has given us the ability. Everyone faces challenges, tests, and trials in life, but God has given the child of God power and ability to overcome all situations, even death. Because he was tempted in all points we are, and yet without sin, we can go through anything life brings because of what Jesus has overcome for us. We can go through any test, any trial. And you know, many times people grow up in different circumstances and situations, and many people say, "I've got it worse than the other person, and I've got it, you know, worse than you, and you know, this is my problem because I've got it so bad." We've all have tests and trials. And you know, yes, some people do have, it seems like, more tests than other people. But did you know that Jesus wants every single one of us, no matter where we find ourselves, to be overcomers in every area of life? That's what he created us for. You know, when you became a new creation in Christ Jesus, you became born again, he put his own nature inside of you. Your spirit is born again. You've got overcoming power to overcome every test, every temptation, and every trial. And that's through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of your testimony. We're going to have to speak positive, but it's not just positive. It's also the ability through God's ability inside of you, that he's living inside of you. God's on the inside of you, and you can overcome anything, any circumstance, and every situation. Now, when it comes to death, of course, I just read on Facebook, a dear friend of mine, their mother passed away at 89 years of age. And you know, that tore me up, you know, because death is an enemy. That's the last enemy that shall be destroyed. And of course, that's testing and that's trying on a person's faith. It's a testing and trying on a person's being. But did you know what? Even through death, Jesus is greater than all death because he died for us. He tasted death for us. He went to a place called hell for 3 days and then he rose up from the dead just like he said. So he said, no matter what you experience in life, no matter how you feel about certain circumstances and situations, you and I can overcome every single obstacle, even when it comes through death, that God Almighty can help us and comfort us because he's tasted. The Bible says he's tasted with the afflictions that we feel. He was tempted and tested in every way we are, and without sin. And so he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So number one, everybody experiences tests, trials, and temptations. So don't feel that you're extra special if you're going through extra tests and trials. No, we all experience tests, trials, and tribulations. The dictionary meaning for trial is a suffering grievance and experiencing distress or painful state. That's the dictionary meaning for a trial. Suffering grievance, experiencing distress, or a painful state. You know, we all wish that it was like the old saying Brother Hagin would say, it's not all like ripe cherries falling off a tree. Well, I eat cherries. I love cherries when I see them in the grocery store. I try not to eat them, you know, without paying for them. But anyways, I think I saw my mom do that once. And I'm thinking that she gave me the right to do that too, but I don't think so. But anyways, I try not to steal. But you eat those cherries. Well, ripe cherries off a tree, they fall to the ground because they're so ripe and they're so delicious. And we wish that life was like that. You know, just everything perfect. All the money you need, you've got it all. All the health you need, you got it all. You've got fans. You've got Facebook fans. You've got thousands. And everyone loves you. Everyone cares for you. Everyone is sending money to you on a constant basis. You know, everything is perfect. Nobody says one negative thing about you. Not one negative thing. That would be nice. But that's not reality. The reality is there is very few in the world that even could care less about you. I know that's horrible. But did you know what with Jesus? I see him ministering to multitudes. He's feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. That's just the men. You got women and children, so that's 10,000 people. That's a lot of people. But yet I see in the upper room, we see 120 people. Where did all the people go? You know, that's the way life is. One day they love you. One day they'll kiss you. The next day they'll spit on you. I got that from Catherine Kuhlman. So anyways, that's what she said. So I'm just copying people that I admire. So Pastor, amen. So anyways, it's not like ripe cherries falling off a tree. Your life is not going to be like that. So, but with God's ability, he's given us everything we need to overcome every obstacle and every situation. You know, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 to 9, it says, stay alert, watch out. Your great enemy, this is found in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, the new NLT. Stay alert, watch out. Your great enemy, it says, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Oh, stand firm against him. You and I have such a responsibility to stand against the enemy's attacks. When you have tests, trials, and temptation, many people want to just say, oh, woe is me. And they get depressed. And then they get lonely. And then they get bitter. And then they get upset. And then they say nasty things about the church. They say nasty things about Christians. They say nasty things. No, God doesn't want you to say nasty things. He wants you to bless and curse not. So it says here, stand firm against him. The enemy is the one that wants to inject thoughts into your mind to think negative. Be strong in your faith. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of sufferings. Tests, trials, and temptations are coming to us all. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome. Like we heard it many times at church, what does good cheer look like? It means thank God, you know, praise his holy name. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Jesus, that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Jesus, I've got the mind of Christ. I'm thinking clearly. I think on things that are true, lovely, of a good report. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I think about that soil. The Bible says that the word of God is like a seed that is planted. And some seed fell by the rocky soil. And it grew up and sprung up. And it grew, but then the sun came out and hit that seed, and it withered away, and it didn't have no moisture and died. Jesus said, though the seed that's planted on the rocky soil is those that hear the word of God and are excited about the word. But when tests, trials, and temptations come because of the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That would be the Christian that comes to God and they're excited about the Lord. I'm born again. I'm saved. I've got a relationship. I maybe came to church. I felt the power of God. I sensed the power of God. In fact, he healed me. There's many people I've heard that have been touched by the healing power of God and been healed of many serious things. But yet, tests and trials come because of the word's sake. Immediately they're offended and fall away. Jesus said, the seed that is sown among the thorns are those that hear the word, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and other things come in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Too many cares about money, 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 money. Too many cares about life, life, life. And believe me, I like nice things. My wife was looking at a $1-some-million house the other day, and I looked at it. It was nice. But I told her, when I lived in Brandon, Manitoba, I lived in a one-room place. It had a bed, it had a table and a TV. You go in the hallway and go to the washroom. And I was happy with it. But again, if you got a family and stuff, you don't want to all be crowded in that little room. And it was $100 a month. But thank God for a big home. Amen. And believe God for the very best. Amen. God doesn't want you to just barely get by. He wants you to have the very best that you can believe God for, trusting him, looking to him in every obstacle and every situation that comes around. You say, no, I'm believing God's word. He's supplying and providing for me. Hallelujah. But anyways, back to the message here of overcoming tests, trials, and temptations. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice in so much that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for a spirit of glory and God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken, but on your part, he is glorified. You love Jesus. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. That would be self-inflicted wounds, any one of those, a murderer, stealing, evildoer, or a busybody. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. And so tests, trials, and temptation are going to come to us all. But be of good cheer. I have overcome, the Lord said. Number two, Jesus overcame all tests, trials, and temptation. Can we say that? Say, Jesus overcame all tests, trials, and temptation. Now, you know that Jesus is the greatest faith man that ever walked the earth. He is a faith man from the day that he was born. He was born as a little bitty baby. You've seen little small kids, how small they are. They can't help themselves. They're small. And Jesus Christ arrived on planet earth through a woman, through Mary. He was a little bitty baby. Little bitty baby, and he had to grow. The Bible says when he was 12 years old, he wanted to be about his father's business. So that shows that you and I have the capacity to either get to know the Lord more than we do right now or less. But he was 12 years old. He wanted to be about his father's business. And then next thing you know, he was subject to his parents for another 18 years, then 30 years of age. He was baptized in water by John the Baptist, and the Spirit came upon him like a dove, and a voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Right after that happened, the Bible says that he was driven in the wilderness to be tested, tried, and tempted. Jesus, God Almighty, came down in the form of flesh and was tested and tried, just like every way we are. Did you know that the enemy, after 40 days of not eating, now I don't know how long you've never ate. I've never ate once for 3 days, years ago, and that was very hard to not eat. I was just waiting to eat that sub sandwich, waiting, just waiting, not even praying, just waiting for the 3 days to be over so I could eat my sub sandwich. And then after my mouth hurt, my roof of my mouth, it was just horrible because I guess you got to ease into a fast. But anyways, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, I believe it was. And then the enemy came to him and tested him. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here Jesus had to do something with his test, trial, and temptation that he was facing from the devil himself. It doesn't get any bigger than the big guy with horns. He's the devil. He's the defeated one. Jesus defeated him. But as the temptation was being tested with Jesus, he didn't defeat him yet until he died and rose again from the dead. Then the full completion was done. Adam and Eve, they blew it in the beginning, and they followed the enemy, and the Bible says they died spiritually. And then later on, about 900 years later, they died physically. But Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and so Jesus came back with the word against the devil. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil takes him on top the temple. Now, why Jesus went on top the temple, I don't know. He obviously wasn't scared of heights, but he crawled up top the temple. And I'm sure the temple was a big building. And Satan said, throw yourself down if you're the Son of God, and he's going to give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God, even though he is God manifested in the flesh and Father is in heaven. But he said, no, I will not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he takes him up a high mountain. Now, if you've never ate for 40 days and you're going up a tall mountain, I haven't climbed Mount McKay, but maybe one day I will. And he went up this high mountain, and he was at the top of the mountain. And Satan appeared unto him and said, if you are the Son of God, bow down. Oh, he didn't say that one. That's the wrong one. But he said, bow down before me and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him all the money, that all the money, it had all of Elon Musk's money, billions of dollars. There was him. He had it there. And all the RRPs that you can get. And all the investments. He showed Jesus all of it. And then he showed him Hollywood, all the glitz, all the glamour, all the red carpet, all the beautiful clothes, all the popularity. He said, you can have 10 billion hits of worshiping. People will say, you're the best, Jesus. You're the singer, the best singer. You're the best actor. You're the best in the world. But he said, bow down and worship me. Bow down. Why? What's with Satan that he's with this worship business? Why would he tell Jesus, the Son of the living God, bow down? Because Satan is a rebel from the very get-go. Before Elvis said he did it his way and all the other ones, no, the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, the bright star, they called him there at one time, he rebelled in heaven and said, I want to take God's throne. I want to go above God's throne. But he can't do that because God is almighty. But he said to Jesus, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus said, no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. And the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. So that's wonderful that in these tests, trials, and temptations, guess what? When you come against him and say, no, I'm not putting up with you. I resist you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be thinking evil. I'm not going to be thinking bad. Guess what? The enemy leaves. When you come against him with the word, he can only take so much. The Bible says that the word is like a sword that pierces him and pokes him. And he left them for a more opportune time. He came back in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus was tempted again. So in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted." So Jesus was tempted just like you and me are tempted. Tempted in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in time of need." So because Jesus Christ was tempted in every way we are, and yet he overcame, now when the tests, trials, and temptation comes, we can overcome. Because tests, trials, and temptations are coming with it to everybody. And Jesus Christ went through tests, trials, and temptations, and he overcame. The Bible says that Satan never would have killed and crucified the Lord of glory had he known the outcome of what happened. What happened was that when Jesus rose up from the dead the third day, wow, talk about power, talk about glory. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken, he will make alive our mortal bodies. Resurrection power helping us go through every circumstance, every situation, every trial that we encounter, because Jesus Christ went through it for us. So number one, tests, trials, and temptations come to us all. Number two, Jesus went through tests, trials, and temptation. And number three, we can overcome all tests, trials, and temptation. So let's all say that. Say, we overcome all tests, trials, and temptations. So all of us overcome it. We can all overcome. Why? Because Jesus Christ overcame. When you became a born-again Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, any man or woman that are in Christ Jesus has become a new creation." That means God Almighty moved on the inside of you, and you've got inside information. You've got God on the inside of your spirit. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. The problem with many people, including myself, is that you have to deal with this flesh. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. We're going to get a brand new body. I've got a scar right here. This went through a window because I was wrestling with my friend in his house. We were intoxicated, and and we were wrestling, and boom, it went through the window, and it was cut wide open. And then they took me to the hospital, and then they gave me some pills, and I thought, you know, this ain't bad. The alcohol and the pills was amazing. And so, you know, this, we're waiting for the redemption of our body. But I remember also the stupid things that could happen when you are like that. I went to this hotel. There was this old hotel, and we went upstairs. And I remember I was with my friend who I went through the window with there, his my hand. And we were on the top of the stairs. Now, this was a little small stairway, very high, I believe at least three stories or more. And we were at the top there, and he was facing the back of the stairs. And I said to myself, you know, my finger hurts, and I pushed him. Isn't that bad? Hey, get the police. No, he survived. He survived. But that's how bad people can be. He tumbled down the stairs. And then I seen him just recently, and he said he remembers that night quite well. But the moral of the story is we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies, because we all have scars. We all have a body that's subject to this world, and it's not born again. This body is not born again. So you have to, the Apostle Paul says he buffets it. He doesn't take it to the buffet. I love a buffet. But he buffets it. He brings it unto subjection and says, oh, I can't let you go that way. I put a restraining order on you. Nope, you can't do that. And your mind is being renewed. You got to think on things that are true, lovely, of a good report. That mind's got to be continually renewed on a continual basis. But yet your spirit loves God. And everybody who knows Jesus, loves God, wants to serve him, wants to do their very best. But yet the body and the unrenewed mind can take people down a bad path. But when these tests and trials and temptations comes, we all can overcome. We all can overcome. Now, overcoming is knowledge-based. Let's all say that. Knowledge-based. That means you and I have to have knowledge. If you are going to overcome with the power of God, with all the ammo that God has given us to overcome, you got to know some things. It just doesn't happen, oh, because I asked Jesus to come into my heart and he's there. No, the enemy will come across with such a thought and you're going to be knocked unto next week if you allow him to. And the tests and the trials are going to come, and the young people nowadays, including old people, they got TikToks, they got all kinds of things. Funny, hilarious. All kinds of things. And these tests and trials can come that way. They can come through so many different circumstances and so many situations. It's just unprecedented, the amount of temptations that are literally coming. You know, my mom says in Saskatchewan, they put a little box there in the corner at school so somebody that thinks they're a little animal can go in the box. Like, what universe are we in? Are you really going to lay in that box and go to the bathroom like a cat or a dog? You know, the tests, the trials and temptations, that in itself could be a major test, a major trial. And if you were a school teacher, you have to be in that kind of environment. That's a test. That's a trial. That's a temptation. That is a major test. That's a major trial. That's a major temptation. That's going against your very being, the creation of God. So it's overcoming is knowledge base. Again, the good scriptures, with the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rocks, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. If you wonder about this, you should take your kids to Sunday school, because that's where I learned this. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went smash. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, they told us that, but that's not the true meaning of the scriptures. The scriptures is that whosoever hear these sayings of mine and do them, I'll liken them unto a wise man that built his house upon rock. Whosoever hear these sayings of mine and do them, 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 I'll liken unto him on a wise man that built his house upon rock. So if this was whose house could I go to? I'll go to Pastor Steve's house. I went to Pastor Steve's house. I sat there in the living room. I noticed on his counter there a bunch of $100 bills. The guy's got money. There was a whole stack of $100 bills. Well, he's got all that money. He's not going to miss just one. And so maybe I'll just take one. So I, grab the one. Well, that wouldn't be doing the word, would it? That would be stealing. And the Bible says you shall not steal. It's one of the commandments, one of the 10. Okay. So when you build and when you do God's word, when you build your house upon rock, that's hearing God's word and doing God's word. Hearing God's word and doing God's word. That's the man that's going to be strong, is the one who builds on hearing God's word and doing God's word. If you hear God's word and don't do it, you're like the foolish man that built his house upon sand. And we've all been there at times. This isn't the pointing finger day. This is a reality day, that building on hearing and doing God's word, you're building your house upon rock. And foolishness is hearing God's word and not doing God's word. So we overcome tests, trials, and temptations by hearing God's word. Now I've got a whole list of things. We can't just do one thing, because God has given us the ability. God's a big God. You notice the stars in the universe when the clouds aren't there and it's not snowing or raining. It's beautiful in the night. You see all the stars. And in fact, one day I saw with Pastor Roma when we brought the Spirit Alive equipment, and I would be lying if it wasn't true, but we looked up because we stopped for a little break and it was pitch black and the sky was so many stars. It was phenomenal. It was just unprecedented, the amount of stars we can see, because it was so dark wherever we looked. And so God does many things. You know, when he talks about healing for us, he says, go ahead and believe God, believe the word, go ahead and get two people, come in agreement, use the prayer of faith, command. He's given us several ways to be healed, a lot of different ways to be healed. Gifts of the Spirit, those are nice. So many different ways. So when it comes to overcoming tests, trials, and temptations, there's many things. There's many things. So here's a minute. Here's a few. We talked about the wise man, just doing God's word. You're going to be overcoming when you do God's word. You're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You're going to hear God's word and you're going to put it into practice. That's doing God's word. Over in 1 John 5:4, it says, whatsoever or whosoever is born of God, if you've accepted Jesus, which we have, whosoever is born of God, we're born of God, overcomes the world. That means we overcome tests, trials, and temptations. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith is beautiful because faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Faith will say, praise God, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank God the attempts and trial and temptation will come and say, you're broke, you got no money. No, faith will say, my God's supplying all my needs. I gave and it's coming back unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I say many times, I've got plenty of jobs, plenty of opportunities, plenty of ways and resources to make moolah, money. And did you know what? There's plenty of opportunities to make moolah, to make money, have jobs. Why? Because God Almighty wants us to use our faith, not to come to a place where there's no money, there's no work, I can't do anything. You know, You have to go and look. Amen? Look in the yellow pages. No. You go in and you seek and you'll find. You knock and it shall be opened unto you. With God, all things are possible. So use your faith. Use your faith for whatever you're believing God for. Health and healing, use your faith. Say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm blessed. Hallelujah, I'm healed. I believe I receive my healing. Even if your body is aching, pains, you say, thank you, Lord, I believe I received my healing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Use your faith, and that's when faith, you speak it, and then the reality comes. Feelings come later, but faith is important in overcoming all tests, trials, and temptation. Use your faith. Another one, Ephesians 6:16. Excuse me. It says, put up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan is continually throwing darts at you, continually saying, think about this. Think on this negative thought. Think that this is where this is going to happen. This negative thing is going to happen. No, I don't want to think on negative things. No. Even if you're almost dead, guess what? You die, you go to heaven. If your body breaks down and you die, you go right into the presence. To live is Christ, to die is gain. The body without the spirit is dead. Your spirit is alive with God. I thank God for the day I leave this earth. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't want to go right now. I like to live to be 90s. And some people say, oh no, that's too long. I can't stand them. I'm just kidding. But 90s, amen? Praise God. All things are possible. With long life shall I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Who determines that? You and I determine it. End of Psalms 91. Because you call upon me, therefore I'll answer you. I will set you up on high because you have not known my name. You shall call upon me and I'll be with you in trouble. Amen. There's the trouble. I'll deliver you and honor you. And with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Use your faith. So when the enemy throws those darts, put up that shield of faith. Say, nope, I will not hear of it. Brother Hagin says, I will not allow any evil thought to think about anybody. I will not think evil about anybody. I will not. Joe, you want to get my water? 1 John 2:27. You also have the anointing. 2:27 says, but the anointing that you received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teach you all things. That means that we can overcome through the anointing, through God that's on the inside of us. Through the anointing on the inside of us. God is on the inside of us. How about Acts 1:8? You shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You could say that. Say, thank you, the Holy Spirit, you're available. You shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So you got the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit can come upon you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Another one, Revelations 12:11. It says, they overcame him. That was the scripture at the beginning. They overcame him, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. So you overcome. How do we overcome? We say, thank you, Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. I plead the blood of Jesus over the church. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of our family. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And then the word of your testimony, that's faith again. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm blood washed. Jesus has washed my sins away. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. 1 John 4:4. Know you not that the greater one is on the inside? So how do you overcome? The greater one's on the inside. God on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. Go ahead and say it. Brother Hagin would say about when he was pulling up those peach trees. It was a few year old, couple year old peach trees. He'd pulled them up in Texas. He was just off the bed of sickness. And so I believe he was a teenager and there were several other boys with him. There was one guy that was 240. His name was Elton. And Elton said, when I'm the last man that's going to be in this place. And did you know, Brother Hagin says, Elton, God is bigger than 240 pounds. And Elton fell out that day. That means he was pulling up those peach trees. They got so hot, he just fell out. He fell out. And Brother Hagin, that skinny little boy, he said that God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. So you see, he's using his confession. He's using his words. He's using the word of God. He's speaking it and saying, God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. And he said, out of all that big group of people, he was the last one standing. Hallelujah, because with God, he is the strength of our life and our portion forever. Now we're going to go through a few of the different ones before we end this beautiful session. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now this is practical. Can you say that? This is practical. This is practical of how to overcome. Now these are all personal. I take these all to myself. I eat this medicine. And how do you take medicine? You eat it every day. You eat it. You take it in the morning, you take it at noon, you take it when the sun goes down. You take it when there's a test, you take it when there's a trial, then take it when there's a temptation. Now, 1 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, don't repay evil for evil. What? They did me evil. Don't repay evil to evil. You want to be an overcomer? Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people insult you. What? They insulted me. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to tear a strip out of them. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to give them a good tongue lashing. No. The only one you're going to be lashing is yourself, because it comes back on you. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Give them a blessing? You've got to be kidding. I will not give them a blessing. No, give them a blessing. That is what God called you to do. God called you to give a blessing? I don't believe it. It says it. That is what God's called you to do, and he will grant you his blessings. So if we take the word of God and we want to overcome and test trials and temptation, you got to do the word. And you got to do little things like this. Don't repay evil for evil. Yeah, but they're stupid. Doesn't matter. Yeah, but they did wrong. Doesn't matter. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Another one, Romans 12:17. Excuse me. Never pay back evil with more evil. Never pay back evil with more evil. Getting thirsty. Never pay back evil with evil. Do these things in such a way that everybody can see you're honorable, which basically is you're a Christian. Never pay back evil for evil. Romans 12:17. James 4:10. Here's another one. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Speak not evil one of another. Speak not evil one of another. This is one of my favorites here, James 5:9. This is my favorite, my absolute favorite. Grudge not one against another. What? You're a big man and a big woman if you don't grudge one to against another. Now, grudge, I looked it up in a dictionary, is ill will or resentment. A persistent feeling of resentment due to some cause or insult or injury. Envious about someone else's success or possessions. That is a grudge. Why did they got an airplane? Why did they got all that money? Why did they got this? Why did they got that? Why? Why? Why is their church so big? Why? I don't know. But it says, grudge not one against another. So we'll bring it closer. I can't grudge against Cindy. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. And I'm not going to have peace in the home. So how about every place? We shouldn't grudge. Grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Who's condemned? Lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that the law says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. So if you want to overcome, you got to love. Love, love, love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love thinks nothing of the wrong done unto it. Love your enemies. Pray. Pray for those who persecute you. This is how the guys did it in the Bible. When Stephen was stoned, they were throwing rocks at him, killing him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He could only do that through the power of the Spirit of God on the inside of him. That is the only way. Love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father. For he gives sun to evil and good. He gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So love, if we want to be overcomers, we got to walk in love. John 13:35, love one another. So love, love, love. And my final scripture, and everybody says, thank God. No? They say, praise the Lord. Amen. James 1:19 says, understand, my beloved, let every man be quick to hear. So we're hearing really quickly. When somebody hears something, I think of Jesus. The man is going to his home. His little daughter, I believe, is sick. And the word comes because Jesus was held up by, I believe, the woman with the issue of blood and a few other things. And he says, "Your daughter is dead." Jesus immediately looked at the man and said, "Don't fear, only believe." And thank God, because that is a horrible situation, but Jesus said, "Don't fear, only believe." And that girl came back to life. So be quick to hear, positive, negative, anyway, whatever word comes, be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to get mad. Slow to speak and slow to get mad. And that will help you to be an overcomer. So everybody's going to experience tests, trials, and temptation. Jesus overcame tests, trials, and temptation. And we overcome tests, trials, and temptation by all those different scriptures that I said. I pray that something has made sense to you in Jesus' name. So let's pray and thank God. Father, we thank you for everyone viewing. And Lord, we praise you and we acknowledge you, Lord. We pray for them, for peace in their homes. We thank you that you're the Prince of Peace and you give each one of us peace. We thank you that it's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds. And so we thank you that we have peace. We thank you that anybody going through a test, a trial, a temptation, we thank you, Lord God, that they would be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Oh, thank you, Father, for strength for them. Thank you, Father, for strength, especially with those that are in pain or hurting in any way, shape, form, or fashion, or maybe they've lost a loved one. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, for supernatural strength on the inside of them.